This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As for the second consecutive year, the Florida Panthers are your Stanley Cup champions. The Panthers eliminating the Edmonton Oilers in Game 6 on their home ice in Sunrise, Florida, winning the cup in front of their fans for the second consecutive season. Last year, it was in Game 7. This year, it is in Game 6. It was a 5-1 victory when it was all said and done, but that really doesn't tell the story of the game. This was a 3-0 game, couple of empty net goals. The Oilers scored one late. I tweeted out, boy, this would be a sick joke if the game actually went over. This was the only game in the series to not go over. It does not go over 6.5 goals, as it only featured 6 goals scored in this one. The big game was had by Sam Reinhart, who scored 4 goals here in this game, one of them being the empty net goal. Actually, I believe he had 2 empty net goals. And Sam Reinhart had the first hat trick for the Florida Panthers in a postseason game in their franchise history. So congratulations for Sam Reinhart there with the hat trick. And another Sam was crowned as your Conn Smythe winner, Sam Bennett, who led the postseason with 15 goals, was named your Conn Smythe Trophy winner as your most valuable player of the postseason. Keep in mind, not just the most valuable player of the final, most valuable player of the entire playoffs. Sam Bennett led the playoffs with 15 goals scored, and he wins the Conn Smythe Award. He came into the game tonight as a massive favorite, and throughout the game, as the Panthers kept taking the lead and extending that lead, the line just got juiced even further and further, and sure, some people said maybe Brad Marchand's got a chance because he had an incredible final. Maybe Bobrovsky has a chance because of the, you know, game 3, he was great. And this game tonight, he was great. Maybe Sam Reinhart with the 4 goals tonight. No, it's not how it works. Okay. It's the most valuable player of the entire postseason. And Sam Bennett truly deserved it. And Sam Bennett, you could have gotten him prior to the series at north of 30-1 odds to win the Conn Smythe Trophy. That's how down the odds board he was, despite leading the postseason in goals coming into this series. But it made sense from a couple of angles. First off, the Edmonton Oilers were a slight favorite in the series because they had home ice advantage. So therefore, Connor McDavid, who led the postseason in points, was the favorite to win the Conn Smythe Trophy. Sergei Bobrovsky, the goaltender of the Panthers, who was great throughout this postseason, was your favorite for the Panthers. So the second favorite. And then Alexander Barkov, who finished second in the voting last year and had a really good playoffs, was the third favorite. Leon Draisaitl, who was right under McDavid for points in the postseason, and he had more goals than McDavid, and he was actually the favorite to lead the series in goals scored before game number 1, he was next. And then you had to go further down the list for guys like Sam Reinhart, and then eventually you get to Sam Bennett at north of 30-1 odds. So congratulations for all those who put in a long shot ticket on Sam Bennett to win the Conn Smythe. You can cash that as the Florida Panthers are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. And we take an early look at next season's odds as DraftKings has posted the odds to win the 2025/26 Stanley Cup. The Oilers are your favorite at plus 650. The Panthers for a three-peat are your second favorite at plus 700. Couple of things here. One, and I tweeted this out. You guys can follow me on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. The Oilers have to address their goaltending. They will not make a deep postseason run if they go into next season with the same goaltending situation that they have this year. With all due respect to Stuart Skinner and Calvin Pickard, it's not going to cut it. And is that an easy fix? It should be. I'll have to look at what free agents are out there, but you can also trade for a goaltender. There's ways you can improve, and it's not going to be difficult to improve from what you've gotten in this postseason with these players. Honestly, very surprising that they even got to the Stanley Cup final and got to six games, considering the goaltending issues that they've had. I think it, one, is a testament to Calvin Pickard, who came in relief of Stuart Skinner after they dropped the first two games against the LA Kings and proceeded to win the next six straight games for the Edmonton Oilers. And it's a credit to Skinner for when he came back after Pickard got hurt in that Vegas series for how well he played against Dallas. But clearly, the goaltending, not even close to even. A lopsided mismatch when you compared the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. It was last year, and it proved to be the case this year. But there are ways you can improve it. Look at the New Jersey Devils. The Devils last year viewed themselves as a very talented young team that had no goaltending. So in the offseason, they go out, they acquire Jacob Markstrom from the Calgary Flames, and immediately they become contenders. And if not for the Jack Hughes injury, I don't know where the Devils would have gone in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They made the postseason despite losing their best player. And it was because of how good Jacob Markstrom was for them. So getting a better goaltender, fixing your goaltending situation, could be an easy fix. But that's the number one thing that the Oilers have to do in this offseason if they want to keep this group together and make another run. So until I see them improve their goaltending, I can't bet on the Edmonton Oilers to make another cup run. The Florida Panthers, meanwhile, they got some contract issues to figure out. They got some free agents that they're going to have to re-sign. I ultimately think that they do re-sign them. Keep in mind, Florida has an advantage over most teams in the NHL with no state income tax. They have the ability to kind of manipulate the contracts, and the players actually get more bang for their buck in Florida. It's been a point of contention in a salary cap sport like the NHL for the past several years, because look no further than the last several Eastern Conference champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. That's not a shocker, people. When you consider the talent on both of those teams over the years and the ability to have this large number of talented players, a large number of high-priced talent that maybe takes a little less money in their contract because they know that they're going to make up for it without the tax. There's a reason why these Florida teams have the advantage. There's a reason why Dallas has an advantage, why Vegas has an advantage, as opposed to, you know, going to play for the LA Kings or the Anaheim Ducks or the New York Rangers or Islanders or Devils. So something to keep an eye on when it comes to the top two favorites for next year's Stanley Cup. Dallas is your third favorite, and the Carolina Hurricanes, your fourth favorite to win the Stanley Cup next season. But there's also another factor here, and I'm curious how many people are going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it now. It's the first thing that came to my mind, and I don't think that enough people are going to think about this yet. Maybe next season they'll think about it. This season, right now, everyone's celebrating the Florida Panthers, and they should. But I'm already thinking ahead for next year. This is where I'm going to help you guys get an edge. Next year, we will have an Olympic break. The NHL is sending players back to the Olympics for the first time in years. And these players are absolutely jacked up for it. Yesterday, I guess it was planned. I don't know why. The Olympics aren't until February, right? I mean, the rosters don't have to be finalized till January. But yet, we had Team USA, Team Canada, and others announce their first six players on the roster. So, yes, Sam Reinhart gets announced, Team Canada, right? Austin Matthews, Quinn Hughes, the Tkachuk brothers, they're all for Team USA. McDavid, of course, Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, all these guys will be playing for Team Canada. So it's nice. They announced the top six players that are going to be playing for each of these countries. Cool. Little press conferences, all that fun stuff. Everyone can get excited about next year's Olympics. But keep in mind, when it comes to the Olympics, that two-week tournament, or however long it takes, is going to take a lot out of these players. We saw it a little bit during the Four Nations break this year. Connor McDavid was incredible during the Four Nations break. Edmonton slumped a little bit after they came out of the break. Hard to get amped up after you just come off a gold medal victory in an international tournament. Now, this isn't the Four Nations break. This is the Olympics. Something that these players have been waiting years, if not their whole lives, to have an opportunity to go play in. Take a look at the rosters for these teams and take a look at the NHL teams that have the most players that will be playing in the Olympics, specifically for teams that are expected to make deep runs for the United States, for Canada, for Sweden. Think about those teams. And those might be teams that you might not want to bet on when it comes to winning the Stanley Cup, because those players might not have enough left in the tank for a late season push. Hey, if you want to bet smarter this football season, you can start with a VSiN Pro subscription. And for a limited time, you can grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, season-long best bets. You're also going to get everything that a VSiN Pro subscriber gets: the daily bets, best bets email, the betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. You can watch the shows on demand and live on the VSiN Watch app, and all full access to VSiN.com. So don't miss this deal. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's cashing out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg here with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. Hit us up on the network at VSiN Live. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk more hockey, get a little recap on the Stanley Cup final, and a look ahead to next season. Darrell Evans, LA Kings ringside reporter, former NHL player, will join us here on the program. Just one final thought about next year and the Olympics and the teams and their deep runs. You know, the Panthers did have eight players play in the Four Nations faceoff this past year. Four of them, though, played for Finland, and they got eliminated early. So the other four players were split between Team USA. Only Tkachuk was on USA, but you had Reinhardt and Bennett on Team Canada. So it's not like all of their players were deep into the tournament. And more importantly, their goaltender did not participate because there was no Team Russia, and there will be no Team Russia going into the Olympics as well. So something to keep just keep an eye on when it comes to the Olympic rosters and how many players each of these teams will have representing, and then also how hard those players go during that break. And if those players will have anything left in the tank for the stretch run of the Stanley Cup or just the regular season and then going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's a lot of hockey. It's a lot of hockey for these players. And for the Florida Panthers going to the Cup final back-to-back years, a Four Nations, so no real all-star break, no time off really this year because those players went to the Four Nations, and then next year, no real time off because a lot of players will go to the Olympics. Something to keep an eye on when it comes to next year's odds. Elsewhere in sports here on this exciting Tuesday, Major League Baseball, Rafael Devers making his debut for the San Francisco Giants after being acquired in a trade from the Boston Red Sox. That was the biggest story in sports over the weekend. As I was live here on VSiN on Live Bet Sunday, prior to Sunday Night Baseball, the Dodgers getting ready to take on the Giants, and all of a sudden, Giants starting pitcher Kyle Harrison is not going to start that game. And we found out literally right before the game that the breaking news that there was a blockbuster trade. The Red Sox sending Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants. I thought it was funny that in Devers' introductory press conference, he was asked about switching positions or playing first base possibly, and he said, "I'll play wherever the team needs me to play." something that he did not say in Boston, and mainly the reason why he's no longer a member of the Red Sox. And before the game here tonight, he was actually taking grounders at first base. Well, right now they're in the top of the sixth inning in San Francisco. The Guardians with a 3-2 lead over the Giants. Rafael Devers already has an RBI double in this game in the third inning. Devers with an RBI double. He has 1-for-3 with 2 strikeouts and that RBI double. I thought one of the most amazing stats that I saw on that Sunday night broadcast when talking about this trade was that of the 18 doubles that Devers has hit this year, if all of them were hit in San Francisco, now I know you can't say that, you play home and road games, of course, but if all 18 doubles were hit in that ballpark, 11 of them would have been home runs. And so you think about the 15 home runs he's hit this year, Devers could be a guy that could have already had 25, 26 home runs. Some of those were high off the wall, the Green Monster, and you know how good he is going opposite field. Some of them were in the little, corner triangle there in center field, the deepest part of the ballpark there at Fenway. So there's, it's not all just pulling it down the line with that short pesky pull there in right field for a lefty. So Devers does do a great job of going the other way. I think that he's going to have a tremendous season for the San Francisco Giants. And I think the Giants are going to have a tremendous season. We'll get more into the San Francisco Giants coming up a little bit later on here in the program, because there are some bets to be made with San Francisco. Meanwhile, the Boston Red Sox, who traded away Rafael Devers, got a victory last night in Seattle, a 2-0 win, thanks to a stellar performance on the mound from Lucas Giolito. Tonight, a different story. Mariners with an 8-0 lead over the Red Sox, and this is what is concerning about a Red Sox lineup now without Rafael Devers. So last night they win 2-0. Those two runs came on 4 hits. It was a Roman Anthony in the first inning hit his first career big league home run. And then in the third inning, Abraham Toro got an infield single that scored a run. Basically the second baseman, and I'm blanking on his name for the Mariners, Cole Young. He dove and caught the ball and then couldn't make a quick enough throw to first to get Toro out. So he kind of like double clutched, but it was a great hit, right? It was scored a hit because it was a diving play. It's not like this was an error. It was a diving play and a run scored on that. And those are the only two runs they scored last night. Logan Gilbert, who came off the IL, made the start for the Mariners, had 10 strikeouts in 5 innings. That was not a good offensive performance by the Red Sox. They won because Giolito had 10 strikeouts, and he was incredible. And the Mariners couldn't hit anything. Now, tonight, the reason why I bring this up is because the Red Sox have only one hit tonight. One hit. Brian Wu has gone 6 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. This is the concern that you have for the Red Sox. What will their offense be without Rafael Devers? Last night, they did get a win. Congratulations. Barely. Tonight, losing 8-0, getting 1 hit, that is a concern. So something to keep an eye on for the Red Sox moving forward. Elsewhere in progress right now, the Astros with a 5-0 lead over the A's in the bottom of the fourth inning. And also in the bottom of the fourth, the Dodgers and the Padres are knotted at 3. Some finals from earlier, the Marlins with an 8-3 win over the Phillies. Jesus Luzardo getting tagged there against his former team. The Tigers, a 7-3 win over the Pirates. The Rockies hit 4 home runs in the 7th inning alone as they beat the Nationals for the second consecutive game, 10-6. And I figured it out for the Rockies. It's so simple. All they have to do is play against the National League East, play against the bad teams in the NL East. They swept the Marlins earlier. They've won 3 straight now, beating the Braves and now 2 against the Nationals. They're just playing in the wrong division. That's all. Rockies are just playing in the wrong division. We figured it out for them. Speaking of potential of being swept, the Angels beat the Yankees 4-0. The Yankees have now been shut out in three consecutive games. They had four hits here tonight. Shutout now in three consecutive games, 29 straight scoreless innings since the ninth inning of their loss against the Red Sox on Saturday, where they scored one run in the ninth, lost 4-3. The last time they were shut out for three consecutive games, September of 2016. It's been almost 10 years since the Yankees were shut out in three consecutive games. They have never been shut out in four consecutive games. I'll repeat. The Yankees have never been shut out in four consecutive games. So can we just bet like team total over a half a run and lay the juice? Yankees will be taking on the next time they will be taking on the Angels here. Jack Kakanowicz is on the mound for the Angels. Here's what I'll say about Jack Kakanowicz. He's got a 5.53 ERA. Last time he faced the Yankees, he gave up four runs on five hits in 6 2/3. He has allowed two or more runs in now five consecutive starts. If the Yankees don't score a run on Wednesday, all hell is going to break loose in the Bronx. I just don't know. Three straight games have been shut out. They've never been shut out in four straight games. My goodness. The other New York team didn't have luck either here on Tuesday night as the Mets fell to the Braves after blowing a lead, Atlanta scoring three runs in the eighth inning, the bottom of the eighth inning, and then walking it off in the 10th inning as the Braves get the win 5-4 over the Mets. The Orioles beat the Rays, something that you didn't expect because Tampa's been playing such good baseball right now, 5-1. And then elsewhere, Cubs a 5-3 win over the Brewers, Royals 6-1 over the Rangers, Cardinals blow out the White Sox 12-2, Reds a 6-5 win over the Twins. Blue Jays beat the Diamondbacks 5-4. Coming up next, we're going to get back into the Stanley Cup. We're going to be joined by former NHL player, current LA Kings analyst, Darrell Evans will join us coming up here on the program. The Stanley Cup may be over, but guys, the NBA Finals still going strong. Our partners at ProfitX offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. It's the first of its kind in the U.S., which means you're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against the sports books. Exchanges guarantee the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN and earn up to 200 in profit cash over your first month. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSIN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. For the second consecutive year, the Florida Panthers are Stanley Cup champions. Congratulations to Sam Bennett, who is your Conn Smythe Trophy winner. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line to talk more about this Stanley Cup final and take a look back at this season and a look ahead maybe to next season, former NHL player, current member of the LA Kings broadcast team, he is Darrell Evans. Darrell, thanks so much for joining us here on VSIN, and let's get into this Stanley Cup final. What, in your opinion, was the main reason why the Florida Panthers were successful for the second consecutive year against the Edmonton Oilers?
I think just the depth and composure that they have, the trust that they have within each other. And I think one of the difference makers in the series was, if you look through the games 1-6, was goaltending. The consistency they had in net with Bobrovsky, I think, paid dividends. And I just felt that the Florida Panthers outplayed the Edmonton Oilers when you look at it from game one to game six.
What makes them so special now two straight years? It takes a lot for a team just to get back to the Stanley Cup, or even just as deep as they, you know, you can get to the conference final, but to go back to the Stanley Cup final to win it, it's a very rare feat. Obviously, we haven't had it in quite some time. What makes this team so special, regardless of who they play?
Yeah, I think with the parity in the NHL right now, this is very rare what we're seeing. They remind me a little bit of the team that the Kings had back in 2012. You know, and eventually they went on and won again in 2014. But to do it in back-to-back years, the consistency, and then you have to give management ownership. You got to give them their marks as well for the players that they added when they brought in Jones and then they brought in Marchand. I mean, those are key pieces, and they both played a key part in putting the Panthers over the Oilers in the series. But, you know, Florida, they had to deal with some adversity and, you know, coming back against Toronto. And I think because they'd already won as a group, that there wasn't that panic within their group. The coaching staff knows their personnel really well, know what they can get out of anybody. And at the end of the day, when nobody on the team, when it doesn't matter who's getting the goals, who's getting the assists or the points, you've got a special thing there. And right now, Florida's got a real special core of players. They got a great coaching staff, and they've got a lot of belief and a lot of trust. I mean, they're going to be tough to knock off the pedestal, because we'll see what happens when free agency comes about with contracts. But there's no reason that they won't compete again aggressively next year.
Yeah, they are the second favorite to win the Stanley Cup next season. They've now played in three consecutive Stanley Cup finals, winning two of them. The Edmonton Oilers, meanwhile, Darryl, they are the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup next year, which is surprising to me, because I think goaltending's a major weakness for this team. Now, could it be a quick fix? Possibly. Look no further, and I brought this up earlier in the show. The New Jersey Devils addressed their goaltending in the offseason, and with Jacob Markstrom, they became contenders until Jack Hughes got hurt. So it can be a quick fix, possibly, for Edmonton, but do you think they have what it takes to make another cup run next year?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, I think goaltending definitely is something that they're really going to consider in this offseason. Really recognizing that it was a difference, especially in this series. Going back and forth between goaltenders, when you don't have that, for sure number one to turn to, I think that puts a little bit of doubt in players' minds, even though they won't tell you that. One thing I think the Oilers missed in this series that, may have given them a little bit of a boost would have been Hyman being in the lineup.
Sure.
A physical presence, a big body. But it's just the depth. There's no doubt with McDavid and Draisaitl, they give you a chance each and every night. But it takes a full team in order to win a Stanley Cup. And I think that's why Florida has found the way over the top in the two series against the Oilers. Going into next year, again, McDavid, Draisaitl, of course, they're still young. They're in the prime of their career. But there's also a lot of wear and tear on these guys. They're going to the Stanley Cup final, 6 games this year, 7 games last year. We already saw both guys miss time this year with injuries, and with the parity in the NHL, how close it is, they might not be able to afford to have those guys miss a lot of games. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers, the people say they could win it. They could also not make the playoffs next year as well. So, it's tight. But, like I say, those two guys give you a chance, but they definitely need to add some pieces in order to make that team better to compete against a Stanley Cup champion.
And we all know how good the Western Conference is. I mean, you saw this team up close and personal in that first round series. You mentioned just going back and forth with the goaltending. Stuart Skinner was awful in those first two games against the Kings. And then in game number three, they switched to Pickard. Kings had a 4-3 lead in that game and could have arguably gone on to, in my opinion, should have gone on to win that series. Ultimately, Pickard goes on to win 6 consecutive games for the Oilers, and then they have to go back to Skinner. And to his credit, he was great against Dallas, but this Western Conference is so deep. Like, if I'm ranking the teams right now, Darryl, I don't know if I put Edmonton in the top three, if I'm being honest.
No, and I would have to agree with you. Again, the individuals give them a chance, but when you look at teams like, you look at Winnipeg did this year, but can Hellebuck get them through, when it comes down to the promised land? Can he take them the distance? Colorado, Dallas. I think Edmonton, aside from the series against Florida, I think the Kings gave them their best go in that first round. I thought both Dallas and Vegas did not play to their potential, or at least to their expectations. I think the Oilers had an easier time with those two teams than they did with the Kings. And obviously they met their match against Florida, but there is so much depth in the West, and there's some great young players coming up. The teams that we just talked about, I don't see any of those teams going away next year. So it's going to be competitive. You'd expect that, teams like Vancouver, Calgary, they're going to be aggressive. A lot of money around with free agency this year because of the salary cap going up. So we'll have to check and see what the rosters look like when the season starts. But it's going to be tight. It's a dogfight right from the first game of the season. You can't just sit there and you know, expect to turn it on at one point of the year and, you know, just glide into the postseason. It's a battle, and it starts in October.
That's why we love this sport so much. Talking to former NHL vet and current LA Kings ringside reporter Darrell Evans, joining me, Scott Seidenberg, on the Progressive Guest Line. It's VSiN's Cashing Out here on the Sports Betting Network. You know, something I brought up, Darrell, and I think it's really interesting, and I'm curious to get your take as someone who's very close to the game. With the Olympic break this coming season, I want to look at the teams that have the most number of players that will be playing in these Olympics, because Florida had eight guys go to the Four Nations faceoff, but four of them played for Finland, and Finland didn't make a deep run in that tournament. It was the United States and Canada. But now we have the Olympics, which is a different animal. Some of these players have been waiting years, if not their whole lives, to get to the Olympics. I think that's going to have an impact on teams down the stretch at the end of the season next year, because coming out of, you know, going all out for their nations in the Olympics, I just don't know if some of these players are going to have enough to make a run towards the Stanley Cup playoffs and deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs next season. Does that make sense?
No, it makes a lot of sense. You know, and there's no doubt that I think that everybody who plays in the NHL, their dream is to win a Stanley Cup if you haven't already done so, and then to go out and win another one. But when you get an opportunity to represent your country, being in the Olympics, there's also another, you know, a special draw to that. One thing, you know, last year with Four Nations, it was here in North America. But now, you know, with the Olympics being, you know, in a different country over in Europe, there's some more travel involved. So you're right. I think that does take a little bit more strain, takes a little bit more toll on your body. And I think it could play a factor. Like I say, we'll see where, you know, the free agents and where the rosters end up and, you know, which teams have the most guys selected. But, you know, the top teams, you have to anticipate a lot of their players, their top players, the guys that they rely upon, are going to be representing the respective countries, and they're going to give it their all out there. They're not going through the motions. They're going there with an intention to come home with a gold medal. So that will definitely play a factor in it, and we'll see how it does, you know, when April and May comes around next year.
One final thing I want to ask you, Darrell, is when I take a look at next season's odds, as the sports books are starting to populate with odds to win not just the Stanley Cup, but also the awards market, Darcy Kuemper had one of the most incredible seasons that you're ever going to see from a goaltender, especially on home ice. And if not for a guy named Connor Hellebuyck, Darcy Kuemper was your Vezina Trophy winner, maybe in the conversation for the Hart Trophy as well. He's at 30-1 odds to win the Vezina Trophy next season. Is that worth a flyer?
Yeah, I believe it is, because I think, you know, in Darcy's first words when he came back to the Kings, one of the things that really attracted him, you know, coming back to this team was the way that the Kings play. They're a predictable team. There's a lot of structure to their game, and there's a lot of emphasis on defense. And I think he showed, you know, really quick on how well he adapted to playing with the guys in front of him. Well, there shouldn't be a lot of changes within the Kings team next year, so he should be in a good position. The Kings, you know, I expect them to be a better team next year than they were this year, and I thought this year they were one hell of a hockey club. I think the Kings were, you know, two games away from really going on a roll, and maybe we might have been watching the Kings play tonight as opposed to the Edmonton Oilers, because I think the momentum, having won a series, the Kings haven't done that yet. I think that'll pull that group together. They've got some good young pieces that are coming up, but the Kings are going to be a contending team, and I expect Darcy Kuemper, you know, to be able to come out and, I'm not going to say repeat what he did, but he should be able to perform the same way that he did this year, whether the results are the same or not. Sometimes that's not necessarily all in your control. But I don't expect his game to fall off at all. I think whoever's going to be the backup for the Kings next year might take on a little bit more of a workload, which will give Darcy a little bit more, you know, rest through the course of the season.
Well,
it's something we'll see how it goes, but I expect big things from him.
Great stuff, Darrell. Appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much for joining us here on VSiN.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
back here on Cashing Out. I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. You can hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. My thanks to former NHL player and current LA Kings analyst Darrell Evans for joining me last segment as we kind of tie a bow on the 2024-25 NHL season. The Florida Panthers, for the second consecutive year, are your Stanley Cup champions, defeating the Edmonton Oilers for the second consecutive year. And the storyline did not come through. I had talked about it coming into this final that we were looking at maybe history repeating itself for a third time as we looked at the generational players in the sport of hockey. Wayne Gretzky in 1983 loses his first ever trip to the Stanley Cup final, wins it the very next year in a rematch against the same Islanders team that beat him the year before. Sidney Crosby in the late 2000s goes to the Stanley Cup final against the Red Wings, loses, and then wins it the next year in a rematch against that Detroit team. And Connor McDavid going to the Stanley Cup final last year, losing with a chance to win it in a revenge matchup against the Florida Panthers this year. Not the case, though, as Florida wins 4-2. So cash your tickets on Florida to win. Cash your tickets on the series to go over 5.5 games. You could have bet the series to end in 6 or end in 7, plus 200 to plus 205, depending on the book. So that was a good bet, in my opinion, just splitting up your bets there to try and, you know, get your price, or just bet the over 5.5 games. This always just felt like it was going to be a longer series. Now, some would argue that it could have been a sweep. Maybe that's the case. But if I look at it from like an analytical perspective, there were a lot of games, maybe not this game and maybe not game three. This was a pretty even series. You know, Edmonton wins game number one. They could have easily won game number two. And Edmonton, you know, wins game number four. Like they Edmonton could have had a 3-1 lead instead of it being tied 2-2. And Florida could have had a 3-1 lead instead of it being tied 2-2. And then, you know, Florida was the better team in the last two games. They were better in game five. They were better in game six. So Florida, a deserving champion. They're the best team in hockey. And if we look ahead to next year's odds, it's the Oilers and the Panthers as the top two favorites to win the Stanley Cup. Edmonton plus 650, Florida plus 700. I don't get why Edmonton's a favorite ahead of Florida. The Western Conference is a lot deeper than the East. We know that for a fact. And let's just be honest, the goaltending is a major issue for the Edmonton Oilers. It was their Achilles heel in this postseason. So I can't bet on the Oilers next year or right now until I know what their goaltending situation is going to be like. But right now, Oilers plus 650 as the favorite for next year's Stanley Cup. The Panthers, your second favorite at 7-1, followed by the Dallas Stars and the Carolina Hurricanes at 9-1. Then the Colorado Avalanche, 10-1. Our Vegas Golden Knights at 12-1. And then the Lightning and Maple Leafs, 14-1 and 20-1. Also at 20-1, the Devils, Kings, and Winnipeg Jets are 25-1. Taking a look at the Utah Mammoth, by the way, plus 4,000. That is going to take a while to get used to, the Utah Mammoth. It bothers me so much. I don't know why. I don't know. It's just the name. I get it. But it sounds like, and I actually think it is a lacrosse team, but like it sounds like a PLL team. Doesn't sound like an NHL team. I thought the Utah Hockey Club was fine. Just should have kept that name. Anyway, I digress. The awards market is out for next year as well. The favorite to win the Hart Trophy as the most valuable player is Connor McDavid. The second favorite is Nathan MacKinnon. McDavid's plus 200. MacKinnon is 5-1. Kirill Kaprizov, who had a great season for Minnesota, but he was out for a long period of time with injuries. He is plus 800. Nikita Kucherov of the Tampa Bay Lightning next at 10-1, followed by Leon Draisaitl of the Edmonton Oilers at 10-1. To win the Vezina Trophy as the best goaltender in hockey, Connor Hellebuyck, the reigning Vezina and Hart Trophy winner this year, is plus 450. Igor Shesterkin of the Rangers is next at plus 700. Andrei Vasilevsky of the Lightning, 10-1, followed by Jake Ottinger of the Stars at 15-1. Ilya Sorokin of the Islanders, 15-1. Logan Thompson of the Capitals next at 20-1. And to win the Coach of the Year, so this is interesting now, the Coach of the Year award, the favorite to win
the coach of the year is a new coach in Joel Quenneville. Not a new coach, but a new coach this year. Joel Quenneville is your favorite to win the Jack Adams Award as the coach of the year at plus 500. Quenneville now the new coach of the Anaheim Ducks. So if you think the Ducks are a young team that is going to start, you know, surge, and maybe this next year is going to be their year. I mean, they just acquired Chris Kreider from the Rangers, so gives them a little veteran presence to go along with a really talented core group of young players. Maybe the Ducks are a team that's going to be on the rise. And we could see the, you know, Joel Quenneville. He's the favorite to win the coach of the year. How about that? Something to keep an eye on. And the Norris Trophy best defenseman, Cale Makar, is your favorite at plus 175 of the Avalanche. Quinn Hughes of the Canucks is plus 220, followed by Zach Werenski at 12-1 odds as we keep an eye on what we can expect next season in the National Hockey League. Let's get back into Major League Baseball as we take a look at some scores that are in progress right now. The Mariners are on the verge of finishing off the Red Sox. It is an 8-0 lead for the Mariners in the bottom of the eighth inning. Boston still with only one hit on the day. Just one hit. Brian Wu exits the game after seven innings. Just the one hit allowed, two walks, and six strikeouts. What a performance for Wu against a Red Sox lineup that is now weaker without Rafael Devers. Speaking of Devers, he did have an RBI double earlier. Giants still trailing the Guardians, though, 3-2. Top of the eighth inning there in San Francisco. Going to the sixth inning now, the Astros with a 9-0 lead over the A's. The A's with only one hit through the first five innings. And in the bottom of the sixth inning in L.A., the Dodgers and Padres are knotted at three, as this was a game started by Randy Vasquez, who gave up three runs on four hits in five innings, and the Dodgers going with a bullpen day as it was, I believe it was Jack Dreyer got the start for them. He only went two innings and did give up one run. Then Trevino came in and gave up two runs in his two innings of work. Now Sauer has pitched two innings, so it's a bullpen day for the Red Sox. Andy Páez has homered twice in this game. So maybe he took it personally when, well, I guess it was, were the Padres yelling at him yesterday? Was their manager saying, "Who do you think you are?" Well, Andy Páez with two homers, kind of like that Pete Weber response. Who do you think you are? Well, I am. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, as we take a look at the results here from this Tuesday and look ahead to Wednesday's schedule, the New York Yankees, this is the big story. Yankees shut out for the third consecutive game. Only four hits in a 4-0 loss to the LA Angels. The Yankees have now been held scoreless for 29 consecutive innings. 29 consecutive innings. It's the first time that they were shut out for three consecutive games since 2016. They have never been shut out in four consecutive games. Something has to change here for the Yankees. Now, I understand baseball players and baseball teams go through slumps, but this is beyond a slump right now. And if you look at these games, it's not like they're getting blown out. They've lost five straight because they can't score. Their pitching's doing a very good job. In the five straight losses, the Yankees have only allowed, 13 runs. 13 runs in their last six games they've allowed. That's great pitching. They've only scored five runs in their last six games. It was a 1-0 win against the Royals, and then a 2-1 loss to the Red Sox, a 4-3 loss to the Red Sox, and now shut out in three consecutive games, 2-0 to the Red Sox, 1-0 to the Angels, and 4-0 to the Angels here on Tuesday night. The Yankees have never been shut out in four consecutive games in their franchise history. Jack Kakanowicz is the pitcher for Wednesday's game for the Angels. There's no reason why the Yankees don't hit Kakanowicz. Kid's got an ERA north of 5.5 and has given up two or more runs in five consecutive starts. four or more runs in three of those five starts. Yankees should snap out of this slump. Hey, VSiN fans, how would you like to play in the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest for free this season? Winner Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus full proxy service. And get this, you'll also be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN, winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN.